Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today, we have the pleasure of listening to Claudia Enrico, who is from Italy. And for those of you who have listened to Ciro's interview a few weeks ago, she was the interpreter for this show and then was inspired to share her own passion about Reiki and her Reiki life, which is about food and nutrition and or nourishment, maybe. Since food is one of the primary motivators in my life, I thought this is a great idea, very different, and also something that I'm sure we all have noticed, that when I started to practice Reiki anyway, my diet started changing, and over the years what I've realized is that Reiki really gives me clues as to what my diet, what would be the ultimate diet for myself. Sometimes I don't listen, but that's my choice. And I'm very interested to see what Claudia has done, especially as she is living in Italy. And for me, Italy is one of the heaven places to travel to, because you can't, I don't think, get a bad meal in Italy. At least I never have, and I've gone to very small cafes and really great restaurants, and I just love the food. Of course, the Italian food in Italy is very different than here in the United States, and that's great. both are good, but my Italian memories all have to do with food, almost. A few buildings, too. And a few people, too. So, Claudia, welcome to the show, and thank you for volunteering to come on and talk to us.
Thank you, Phyllis. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here again with you. And thank you for the great introduction, especially about Italy. It's very, very good. This is some kind of description about my country. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, see, this is my priority, food. So, you know, of course, when you mentioned this, I thought, okay, that's good. I have no idea what you're going to say, and it's really exciting for me. I like having new stimulus, so to speak. And it is true that, you know, there is a lot of beauty in Italy, from the people to the scenery to the buildings to the food. And I say that with great respect. So, Claudia, could you share with us your Reiki story? I'd love to know how you met Reiki. And I know that it was a long time ago, because I've known you for years and years.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, it's a very long journey that started in 1980.
Wow.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it was a long time ago. And at the time, Reiki in Italy was just at the beginning, and my Reiki master was just one among the few Reiki masters that at the time were beginning to teach Reiki in Italy.
Uh-huh.
So I just had this kind of luck in some way to be a witness of this story of Reiki, not only my personal story, but the story in Italy, since the beginning. And it's just a precious gift. I still consider that just like a precious gift. And I met Reiki in a very weird way, because at the time I was not aware of anything about energy, except for the energy that is able to light up a bulb lamp, you know?
Yes.
So for me, the energy was just the energy of the physics, because I was studying in a scientific school. My mind was set in a scientific way. So I had no experience of anything, even about healing, anything, you know?
Yeah.
So I went to this conference where there was my Reiki master, and I was completely absorbed by this new story, by what he was sharing, the Reiki history, the Reiki system, and I was fascinating at the point that it was just like discovering something that I already knew since when I was a child, but I had completely forgotten. And this was completely inexplicable for me. I was able to understand why, what was that. So I decided to go to the first degree class the day after. And then I started my journey. And I was completely in my at ease, because it was something that was belonging to me already since the beginning. And I was so involved that I decided to attend to the second degree soon after. After a few months, I jumped into this new adventure of mine. And at the time, it was very beautiful, because as everything in the beginning, people was really involved. There were circles around where you could practice, exchange Reiki, and there was a sort of a beautiful feeling of sharing, of love, this desire to know, to practice. It was really sincere and beautiful. And for me, it was just a support to start my daily practice. I was a very diligent student since the beginning, because I was doing my self-treatment every day.
Uh-huh.
And it was a beautiful appointment I had since the beginning. Then when I started with the second degree, things a little bit shifted, because I faced what we call the dark side of our soul. And then I stay for a period of time in my life inside this kind of situation, when I had to remove, to clean, to heal all my, sorry for the word, shit.
Okay, I think we can all relate to that.
Yeah. Then I also had this new experiences, because I was living in the beginning still with my parents, and thanks to Reiki, I was able to find the necessary strength and courage to go to live by myself. And I was beginning to participate, to attend to other workshops. So I was giving myself a kind of educational nutrition, you know, that I needed, because I wanted to know more and more and more. And I wanted to go deeper in the practice to get rid of everything that was just blocking me, you know. I was pretty aware about that.
Wow.
And at a certain point, I decided also to walk other paths that were intriguing me very much. And so I went into analysis, psychoanalysis, because I needed something that I was able to support my mind,
mm-hmm,
on another level. And I was doing analysis for 3 years and a half. And my analyst didn't understand at the time why I was so fast in improving with my results, because I was using Reiki, you know, especially the mental treatment. And so I had also a great support from this path. And it was just like a preparation to enter in the path of the mastery, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
After 6 years, I decided with my Reiki master to be initiated on the third degree of Reiki. And, well, the story is very long, and there is no time. Maybe I would be also boring, you know, but many things happened in these 6 years in my life, just a complete transformation. And when I started to with the third degree, my new path. I was able to give up with my job. At the time, I was working with my father and my brother, and to emerge I was able to emerge myself completely in this flow of Reiki. It was already a daily practice, but after the initiation on the third degree, I felt that I wanted to commit completely and more myself, to dedicate myself to Reiki in all its aspects. And so I decided to begin to teach Reiki to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning, I was a little bit clumsy, you know?
Yes, we all are, to a certain extent.
So I was also making some mistakes, of course. But something happened at the moment, after 1 year, I've been initiated, and then it was another change in my life, that I decided to go to live in the country, where I still live now, where there was the house of my grandfather, a piece of land, not so much, but just a piece of land. And then this is the other beginning of my story, because I began to till the soil, to cultivate my own food, and the process continued. So this is a very synthetic, my Reiki story till that point, how I met Reiki and how I was involved in this system, in this experience.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. And I just wonder, did you find that, were you one of these people that your family really took to Reiki and came to Reiki, or were you alone in your endeavor with Reiki?
Well, in the beginning, there was a kind of hostile behavior.
Yes.
Especially from my father, because I always had this kind of issue. I mean, in my life, the person of my family with whom I have fought a lot is my father, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That is also my grand, it's a kind of master, you know, for me.
Yes, absolutely. I totally understand.
So in the beginning, it was pretty difficult, because they didn't understand what was happening to me, because they were seeing their daughter that was changing completely, just holding a thing, you know. And I was trying, because I was very enthusiastic, I was trying to share, to explain, to show, but they didn't understand. The reaction was just the opposite. They were just going away from me, just like they were scary, you know.
Yep.
And then it happened that after I became a Reiki master myself, in the first year, something shifted with my mother, and I decided to offer her the first degree of Reiki. And at the time, she was pretty bad with her health, and she accepted. It was just a kind of miracle for me. I was really, oh, wow.
Great.
I can have an ally in my family at last. Then, after a few years, my brother came, and he was in a special, difficult moment in his life, and so maybe he was a little bit open, and he came to the first degree. But I can say that my family and my relatives, still now they see me just like a strange object, you know? They don't really understand who I am, what I'm doing, what I've done. I try along the time to find a new language for them to explain with simple words what is Reiki, what was my experience, what I was learning, what I was doing, what I was trying to teach to share with people. They were saying, oh, yes, I understand. Oh, yes, yes, of course. But I'm not sure that they still understand, because most of them, they never give themselves the opportunity to receive a Reiki treatment, just to feel and to have the the experience to understand something.
Right.
Just in the last months, my father, because he had a kind of a problem last year with his heart, he was just a little bit more tender, and now I'm doing Reiki to him every week, and something has changed for him, because I see that is a little bit the problem that he had was allowing him to be a little bit weaker.
Yeah.
And Reiki was able to enter, just like a feeling, just like a message, just like why don't you try that, you know? And he accepted it, and he's receiving quite well.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, great. Well, it's interesting for me to just hear. Thank you very much for sharing the story of your family. I just felt it was a good question to ask, so thank you very much for humoring me.
And
you know, it was wonderful how you described your family's coming to Reiki and their willingness to, in their most, what I find quite interesting in many cases is that when people are at their most vulnerable, that's when they are more open to Reiki. And I always think about this because it seems a little bit like the opposite. You would think that if they were really vulnerable and Reiki was really scary, that that would be exactly the time that they wouldn't ask for it or accept it. But for me, it's a kind of teaching that Reiki has within it a sort of innate naturalness that when people are vulnerable, also a lot of their ideas are stripped away, and their will to change their condition allows them to see the safety in what Reiki has to offer. Would you say that that's accurate in your experience?
Yeah, it's pretty like that. I agree with you. And what happened to me, if I can use the family issue as an example, it was just being a kind of witness along the time of a kind of process that showed me how we really are true interconnected, the one with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And each time I was able to heal something inside myself, something about my story, about my suffering, I was able to get rid of something that was not anymore useful, to change some habits, to improve my well-being. After that, I was able to see just like a kind of imitation, you know?
Yes.
From my father, my mother, my brother, and the others, not just imitating me, but changing something, you know?
Yes.
Just like when you are a pioneer and you are opening a way and the other follow and they see that, she's safe. Nothing
right.
was happening to her. We can go on.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That was my experience. And the difficult part was for me because I have a strong personality.
Sorry, but we
it was to accept that I had to be patient.
Uh-huh.
And to let stay quiet and in silence my ego, you know, because most of the time I was really upset because they were able not to understand. They didn't want to receive my help. It was just like a way to say them, I love you.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it was a very interesting this experience, because I realized at a certain point that saying my way of saying them I love you, it was in another language.
Right.
So I had to learn how to let them know to with the examples and not with words that I really love them, you know. And that was a pretty interesting experience, and I was able to learn to leave them in their space, to give them their times, and to accept the fact that I was not omnipotent. Is it right? The word?
That you were not?
I was not so powerful, completely powerful.
Yeah. Beautifully said. Thank you, Claudia.
You're welcome.
Really nice. So we left you in your nutrition story, back to moving into your grandfather's house and on his land, or did you move onto the land and build the house?
No, the house was still there, and it's still there, and it's a house that is 200 years old.
Wow.
And it was built in three different moments, so it's a kind of a strange house, because it was the house where once they came here for summer holidays.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it has a ground floor where there is the kitchen, and there is a kind of porch, sorry. And then there is the land. And then I have three terraces here in my region, Liguria. All the hills are built up with terraces, you know.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And then there is the first floor where I have the bedroom and the other part of the house. So it's an old house with an old energy. And when I came here, it was completely abandoned, you know.
Oh, and wow. So, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, my father and other person, we are just remodeling it, and it was pretty soon ready, and I came in just like it was brand new.
Wow, great.
But just like every old house, it requires a lot of work.
Yes.
I say not every day, but constantly, you know?
Yes, I understand.
And so I found myself here, and it was a very interesting this experience, because I was able to face myself with this experience of becoming a farmer.
Right.
And it was something the universe was preparing for me at the time, a very, very powerful lesson.
Oh. That
just, not really easy. Some moments are very painful too, but very beautiful at the end. So I was here for 1 year, and I was beginning to teach the soil, to understand. I was studying how to cultivate in the organic way, because I didn't want to use any pesticides, any chemicals. So I was trying in the beginning, and I was failing because I was not able. So it was very interesting. I was really intrigued by the experience of having the seeds in my hands, doing Reiki to the seeds, and then planting them, put them in the soil. And I was, at the time, always with my father, I was saying to him, you will see that my seeds will grow faster than yours.
And it
was. And he was saying, oh, you are more lucky than me, you have the green thumb, something like that. No, no, it's just because I was sending Reiki to the seeds. I was treating the seeds with Reiki, and they were being activated before, you know. That's the reason why. So it's a kind of joke with my father too, but it was a kind of experiment that I was beginning to do. And after 1 year, I became sick. I was getting worse and worse with my health. I didn't understand why. And at the time, I had decided to give up with smoking. So in the beginning, I thought it was because of the, it was over the, due to the purification from the smoking. And, but it was not improving my health. So, I decided to go to a particular doctor that I have here in my town that is a homeopathic doctor. That also discovered something very interesting, about the intolerances. And at the time, I was a little bit, I had some doubts about him because I didn't believe that he was really the right way for me because I had Reiki, you know.
Right.
I was blind with my Reiki, that the Reiki was completely able to heal myself. What a powerful lesson. So I discovered that I was wheat intolerant. That was creating me all these problems that I was suffering. And in the beginning of this story, of this path, I was really, really angry because I didn't realize why I had this kind of experience to jump into this bad situation of mine and not being able to get healed with Reiki.
Right.
So I started to practice his diet and to learn more about his technique. I can share a little bit about that because it's something that is really interesting and it's a part of my journey. He was visiting you and he was using the kinesiologic test, the O-ring test. I don't know if you know.
Yes. Well, I do. So can you explain it a little bit, though, because maybe some other people don't?
Well, kinesiology is a kind of science where you have to test. You are able to test everything with your body. And in the O-ring test, you have to put the thing that you want to test in your left hand. And with your right hand, you form a kind of ring, the so-called O-ring, between your thumb, your first finger. And you create a kind of a circle. You put them together. And you push with your muscular strength. And another person is testing you, trying to open these two fingers. And if the thing that you are testing is good for you, the ring remains closed. If it's not good for you, the rings will be open. And you can be also very strong with your muscular strength in your hands, in your arm. But if there's something that is not good for you, the ring is open. You can also have other methods to test. They're a little bit complicated, but this is the simplest. And it shows how one thing can, with its own frequency, disturb, modify, create an imbalance in your bioelectrical field.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, for what is food, if there is something that is not good for you, you test it, you can test it, just like I explained, and the ring will be open.
Mm-hmm.
So, this doctor is practicing this kind of way to test if a person is intolerant to someone. And also, he has some kind of machines that are able to read the frequency. You can see on the screen how is the frequency, the electric wave of your body, of your bio electric field.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time when there is an intolerance, this kind of wave is not harmonic, you know. is distorted.
Right.
Because the frequency of the food that is not good for you, that you continue to eat or to touch, is creating a distortion in your bioelectric field, and it's creating on a physical level some kind of disease.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So the doctor is practicing that, and then he has added the homeopathic remedies as a care to give you a help in what is your personal situation.
Right.
Even homeopathy is something that is based with is based on frequencies, you know.
Yes.
Homeopathic remedy is something that contains just a few particles of matters. The molecules are just few, and the most of the is the frequency that is contained in the homeopathic remedy. So it's something that is working on energetic frequency level, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So this kind of situation of mine was having a support from this method, and also with Reiki. And I did a lot of studies about that because I was really intrigued in this situation. It was not just like allopathic medicine that is taking care about everything with chemistry. It was something that was more light, more accessible for me, you know, to understand, to have a vision of how it could possibly work on myself.
Right.
And I used myself as a guinea pig. Because I was feeling that I wanted to understand, to learn. And I proposed also at a certain point to this doctor a kind of experiment to treat some wheat flour with Reiki to see what it would happen. And he was saying to me, yes, you can do that, but I want to do that from a scientific point of view. So you have to prepare to me a protocol that is a kind of study, a case study on this situation, and then we can try and we can test if you're right.
Oh, wow. That was very formal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
I was not able to prepare this case study because I didn't go to the university, so I was completely ignorant. But it happened at the time that I was at a Reiki conference, and I met, I don't know if you remember, Talia from Greece.
Oh, yes, very much so.
And she taught me how to prepare this kind of case study, you know, and I was really grateful to her because I was having a piece of things where to work.
Yeah.
So I prepared my stuff, and it happened that I decided to put some samples of flour, wheat flours, in some little containers, and I decided to treat one of them to give Reiki to this flower.
Right.
And I was doing that with distant Reiki. I don't know what I decided to give Reiki from distance and not holding it between my hands. But it happened in this way. It was maybe a kind of test. I don't know.
Well,
so
if I could interrupt, the thing of it is if you had held it in your hand, you would have created other conditions, like the warmth of your hand and so on. If you do it by distance, then you don't have any personal connection to what you're doing. And that was good. It was a good intuition.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, great.
Thank you for this, because I didn't realize that till now. Thank you.
Yeah, you would have introduced a lot more variables to your experiment. So, good work.
Yeah. So I tried first to test by myself with a friend of mine, and it was okay. The O-ring test showed me that the wheat flour treated with Reiki was good. The ring remained closed. I took this kind of test and my case study to the doctor. We tried together, He didn't believe that. He was completely astonished because he didn't believe that it was possible. And then he tried with his son, that is a doctor too, to see if it was real, if it was working. And the test was the same. So I think that I shocked this doctor at the point that that he closed the relationship with me for different times.
Really?
I was not able anymore to talk with him about this kind of subject, because each time that I was trying to investigate, he was changing the subject.
Uh-huh.
Till one day that he came to me to receive a Reiki treatment. It was really funny.
Oh, great.
Anyhow, this was a kind of experience that I wanted to share because it was very important for me, and it allowed me to enter in another part of my journey, because to get healed, I had to eat something different, and I had to change completely my recipes.
Right.
So I began to use other kind of grains, other kind of food. It was not very difficult for, just like it is or it was for other persons that has similar problems, but because I was having the garden and I was able to have my food, veggies and fruits, and so I changed my diet, you know.
Uh-huh.
And the beginning of a new way of feeding myself, and I realized many things because this experience gave me the gift to understand that really the food is energy. And according to what you eat, you are able to put good energy in your body, vital energy in your body, in your entire system, in your being, or not.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, in that period, I also discovered that I had a kind of family issue on food.
Really?
Yeah, because my family from my father's side, they were known as some people that had the ability to prepare the ravioli. Do you know?
Of course.
Ravioli made with borage, that is a kind of a wild herb that we have here, but you have still in this herb in the United States because I found it. And they had a nickname that is in dialect is buragetti. That means the people that is good to prepare ravioli with borage.
Uh-huh.
So I had also a discovery. Some memories came up in my mind. I remember that when I was a child, there was a particular moment on Saturday, not always, but very often, in which the family, my mother, my grandmother, they were in the kitchen preparing this ravioli. And I was there looking at them and learning how to prepare. It was a kind of a family reunion in the kitchen, a female family reunion in the kitchen.
Beautiful.
Yes. And it was intriguing because in this period that I was continuing my diet with avoiding wheat, I was preparing something new. I was collecting recipes, putting together something because I wanted to have a kind of a little book for myself just to refer when I was having the idea to prepare something, to invite friends, something like that.
Right. So let me just interrupt you. So you were collecting recipes to make like pasta with something else other than wheat.
Exactly.
Wow. That's wonderful.
Yeah. I was also this kind of, this doctor had the kind of community of people that had different people were are intolerant to wheat. So I decided to prepare a little book for everybody, just with the new recipes, changing the wheat with the spelt, rye, kamut, other things, you know. And then I had another vision that I could have prepared myself a book and publish a book. And it took me a few years because in that time I was, it was a period in which I lived in the United States and I experienced something different. And then I decided to write when I was coming back from the United States and I was here in Italy. Once I decided to put these recipes all together and to create a real book. And so I did it.
Really? Wow, great.
Yeah, and I was able also to find my publishers. So I was beginning a new career in my life as just like a writer.
Wow, great.
So, and it was very important because it was just the beginning of another part in my history, in my path. It was allowing me to go deeper and deeper into this nutrition realm, you know? And I discovered many, many things because I, thanks to some conferences and the presentation of my book in some places, I was able to receive some questions from the audience. And I was able to answer to a few of them, and to others I had some doubts. So it was a kind of good way to push me to learn more, to search more, to investigate more, and putting together everything just according to my experience and creating a sort of a way in which I can describe that eating in a certain way, in a healthy way, and using Reiki, your Reiki practice, is just phenomenal, you know?
Wonderful.
Yeah. And Reiki has always been close to me, and at a certain point, it was no more close, but it was inside me. I was incorporating Reiki, you know? Reiki became really my daily practice on everything. And I discovered that when I was going in the kitchen every day to prepare my meal, I was using Reiki to prepare some food. Just doing Reiki to some food or drawing some symbols to when I was preparing some cakes. So it was a very beautiful experience. And I realized that the more I was eating healthier, the more I was having good energies. And not only in my physical, on my physical level, but especially on my mental level, I was more clear. I was able to have dissipated all the fog that the wheat intolerance put into my life, you know?
Yes, they say that when you're really have this wheat intolerance very strongly, your mind kind of goes mushy or something.
Yeah.
Did that happen with you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was in this way. It was just, I was clear, but it was like the experience of having a helmet on your head.
Oh, gosh. I hate that feeling.
It was pretty scary.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I totally get it.
Little by little, when the physical body was more detoxified, I was more lighter in my and more clear in my mind, and I had again back my intuition.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, and my creativity increased, so I was able to write my book, to prepare other things. And I was having another attitude in my life. Before I was just like, it was just like I always was sad about something.
Yes.
And then after I discovered to be happy inside myself, like when I was a child. And it was very beautiful. Of course, it was not a kind of breakthrough that I went on all in a sudden. It took me years, you know.
Well, that's okay. That gives us all hope that it will eventually come around.
But I'm sure, because I've seen other person in a similar path close to me, and I, just like when I was having my psychoanalysis, I was pretty fast, because I had Reiki. I was using Reiki. I was practicing Reiki, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The healing process was really, really fast. I can say it was fast.
Right. Well, this gives me a little opening. So I want to go back to something you said in the beginning when you found out that you were gluten intolerant, or basically allergic to wheat. You said that you were a little bit upset that Reiki didn't seem to be curing you or helping your situation. And I just wonder, in looking back then, you know, now, and looking back now at that period of time, would you say that Reiki actually did play a part in your becoming healthy?
Do you mean after that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
I think that, well, more than I think, I feel that my experience was just the experience of the discovering my intolerance was just a way, just an obstacle that Reiki put on my path to let me see many things. Not only something that was bothering me on a physical level,
I see,
but something that was bothering me on my or what is my personality, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
My personality was stronger at that time, and I was so sure that Reiki was so powerful because I had an opinion of myself of being powerful thanks to Reiki.
Right, exactly. I remember those days. Wonderful.
And so this that has been a wonderful lesson for me to realize, okay, Reiki was able and is still able to help me, to support me when I have a problem on my physical level.
Uh-huh, right.
But the most important thing was that I've been able to see that Reiki doesn't need a powerful person to express itself.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
I learned the lesson of becoming more humble.
Mm-hmm.
To accept that I could be weak, I could be sick.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to take care about myself on a deeper level that I was not able to see.
Mm-hmm.
And that Reiki has nothing to do with my ego.
Right.
Reality, you know, it's a problem of mine. It was just like I was separating Reiki from myself. And that this experience allowed me, as I said before, to integrate totally Reiki inside myself. Before, it was close to me, walking close to me, you know, just like an unidentified object, you know.
That's a great way to describe it. I've never heard it that way before, but it's good. Yes, I get it.
After that, I embodied Reiki.
Uh-huh, right.
I was able to practice it more on a different level, allowing my true personality to get to flourish, to blossom, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Before I was having just like a kind of, I was just acting a part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that it happens when you are young also, that you are so proud about yourself. And sometimes life puts some obstacles that you have to knee and you have to say, okay, I surrender.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Well, you know, it's interesting just to tie some of the story together. We talked about vulnerability, allowing a human being to really let go of the belief systems and ideas about who they are and what they are. And in your story with your family, that was true. And now with yourself, and it is echoed, you know, in all of us as Reiki students, this really magic moment of vulnerability. And I see, I used to tell people, and I still do, but now a little bit more tactfully, that vulnerability is really our strength. That's where we find our gift in our life. And you certainly have done that through finding out about your diet. And I can remember, you know, going to groups and gatherings and seminars with you and working through your dietary needs and so on. And it's just beautiful to see how this has blossomed in your life and how and where you are. I'm just, it's wonderful, Claudia. Thank you for sharing it.
You're welcome.
That's great.
Yeah.
So yes. Tell me the name of your book. I mean, is your book in English and Italian, or, I mean, you know.
My book is in Italian, but I have already translated it and edited it thanks to some American friends of mine. And So it is ready to be published if my publisher are able to find a publishing house that want to publish it.
Great.
Still ready, but we miss someone that is willing to publish it in the United States or other countries.
Yeah, or England, for instance.
And yes, yes. Yeah.
So, great. Well, that's a new adventure for you to do that. So, is it found, like, you know, in bookstores or on Amazon, or if people from
in bookstores, you can find in the website of on the websites of my publishers, and yes, you can find it.
Okay, great, perfect. And what's the name of it?
Le ricette per la gioia. That means joyful recipes.
Wonderful. Great. Good title. Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, you know, it's amazing now how many people are gluten intolerant. And, you know, a lot of us are by degree and sometimes by a large degree. And it seems that in some countries anyway, and certainly in the United States, it's getting to be something that the medical doctors check out if nothing else occurs, but sometimes it takes them a long time to get there. And I'm just wondering if you can talk a little about symptomology, and so that if people have these symptoms, they might want to just look into it, because the fix, so to speak, is easy in your mind, but not so easy, you know, in your body, because you really crave it also, don't you?
Yeah.
You crave what you don't want, or what is not good for you sometimes.
Yeah. Well, it's a big issue, this one, because it's big, just like the ocean, this subject. Anyhow, I can say that the symptoms, the most of the time are that you become fuzzy in your head, that you have no more energy to do things or less energy. Maybe you wake up in the morning and you are already tired. Your intestine is not well working, so you can have you can be constipated or the opposite. You can have diarrhea. Right. Your digestion is no good, and sometimes you confuse this intolerance with some kind of momentaneous allergies. You know.
Right.
You know, so it is a kind of scrambling. It's a kind of difficult to realize what is not working.
Mm-hmm.
And the symptoms are also that you could have some kind of occasional or long-term disease in some part of your body, in some organs. For example, I discovered that I had a very weak part in my body. That was in my genital area. So my cycle was really upset because of this intolerance, you know?
Yes.
And if you are able to discover that, and if you are able to get rid of all the allergen that is affecting you, in this case, for me, it was the wheat. And if you're able to not enter in touch with the frequency of it, that means also that you have also not to use some soap, something that is some cream, body creams, because they also are added with the E vitamin that is that comes from wheat, you know?
Right.
So, E vitamin is also used as an antioxidant in some food or in some products that we use daily, you know. So, entering touch with your skin, for example, is another way to upset your energetic system, you know.
Wow.
And this is something that is not all people know, because it's not something that the media are describing and sharing in the right way.
Right.
There's a bit of confusion in this issue. And I can say that this is one of the things that is creating a lot of problems in all the world, because wheat has been genetically modified in the 50s. And this is one of the reasons, because it is so able to upset our health, you know. Because I can say that when my father, my mother were young, they used to eat wheat, okay, and nothing happened. Why? All of a sudden something started to create problems, you know. One of the reasons is that problem of being genetically modified. And then, because being wheat, a kind of crop that is really intensively cultivated in the world, they use most of the time pesticides, chemicals, herbicides, some things also to preserve it when it has been harvested, that are very toxic for our body, you know?
Yes, I know. So,
this is very important that people is beginning to become aware of what they eat, where it comes from, especially, you know?
Yes.
This is, we have the organic industry, that the organic farming, that is really a blast, because we can eat something just like it was naturally 50 years ago, more or less. You know?
More or less, yeah. But it's interesting, you know, this whole thing about the preservatives. What I find interesting is that my friends who are gluten intolerant find that if they go to places like Germany, for instance, well, it used to be in the old days, I don't know about now, present day, But when I used to travel there in the 80s and 90s, most of the bakeries actually ground their grain for their bread the day, you know, right before they made the bread. It wasn't ground as flour and then kept for months and months and months. And somehow that also seems to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I don't understand why, but it was very interesting. And so some of my friends have gotten like organic grain and ground their own grain, and somehow that they can eat a little bit of it.
Yeah.
And they're desperate for bread.
Yeah, you are right. And when you have a kind of intolerance, that's something that you were asking me before.
Yes.
It's right. You become craving for that thing that is really damaging you. It's just like a kind of addiction, you know?
Yeah. It's so fascinating.
And you discover that this is a poison for you. This is a normal physiological process in our body. And it happens when there is a chemical process that it's too long to explain.
Right.
But
right.
There is this process is creating a kind of lack of this substance, of this molecules, and the body is requiring that, just like when you are addicted to drugs, to heroin, for example, or other stuff, you know?
Right.
When you take away the substance that is damaging you, you have a kind of crisis.
Yes.
And just like abstinence, you know, just like you're feeling worse because you miss that terribly.
Yes.
When you are able to prepare your food, just like you were saying in your example, to grind the cereals, the grains, by yourself and prepare your bread, you have a complete different quality, not only in texture, but in energy, because the food is alive.
Right, right.
This most important things to say about food and nutrition, because there are different diets, different situations. You can be vegetarian, vegan, you can eat raw food, you can be omnivorous. The important thing is that the food that you eat is alive. And if you think about the veggies and the fruits, if you have a garden, you can go down in the garden, take the fruits, take the veggies, prepare them, and then eat them. And they are full of energy.
Yes.
Because they are alive. If you put something into a can, you put preservatives, this is dead. It has more energy.
Right.
And the body requires more food because it requires energy. This is the main problem of obesity, you know?
Right.
This is the starting point to have diabetes.
Yes.
So this is very important for me. And putting our attention on food alive, because it has a lot of energy, it is just like integrating in our life. I mean, I talk about people that is practicing Reiki, something that is really important, is a part of the practice.
Beautifully said, Claudia. It is time for us to go, and it's a wonderful place to end. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.